Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We're working on chapter 6. In this study, we'll cover verses 7 through 11, the opening of the fourth and fifth seals. I'll begin by reading those verses, and then we'll go into an introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one and end with a summary and conclusion. Let's begin at verse 7, where we read, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants and also their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." In this study of Revelation chapter 6, verses 11, we see the opening of the fourth and the fifth seals. In our previous study, we saw the opening of the first three seals. When the first seal was opened, we saw a picture of Christ riding on a white horse, and he went forth conquering the world by his gospel as many were wrenched from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ, beginning at Pentecost in 33 AD. And when we opened the second seal, we saw a picture of Satan riding on a red horse, and he took peace from the earth by deception of Eve in the garden, and that they should then kill one another by murder, war, abortions, and the like. And when the third seal was opened, we saw a picture of God himself bringing spiritual famine upon his churches, his own people, because of their sins. But now, when Christ opened the fourth seal, we see a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. What is this rider on the pale horse a picture of? The answer to this question and more we will find in this study. But now, when the fifth seal was opened, we see under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Who are these souls under the altar a picture of? The answer to this question and more we will find in this study. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ grant us insight into all these things. Amen. Well, let's look at verse 7, first of all, in a little more detail. Once again, it reads, And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a fourth beast say, Come and see. In this verse we first read, And when he had opened the fourth seal, the he, of course, who had opened the fourth seal is the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And we should remind ourselves that he, Christ, had opened the fourth seal to the book of God's salvation plan for the world, which means it was Christ, the Lamb, that brought about the fourth aspect to God's salvation plan, just as he had brought about the first three aspects to his salvation plan that we covered in our previous study. In other words, Christ was in complete control of each aspect of God's salvation plan, as he was the one who opened each seal, which symbolized him as being the one who brought about each aspect to God's salvation plan. But now the Apostle John says, as he continues, I heard the voice of the fourth beast, Come and see. I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. The fourth beast is one of the four beasts, better translated as four living creatures, which we already concluded symbolize God back in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. And so, when the Apostle John says that he heard the voice of the fourth beast, that is the fourth living creature, he heard the very voice of God say, Come and see. Which leads us to the next verse, which is verse 8 of Revelation 6. It reads, And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Here, when the Apostle John came to see, he first said, And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. More accurately, it should be translated, And I looked, and behold, a green horse. This word translated as green is closely associated with the elect, as we can see in other verses that use the same word. For instance, we read in Revelation 9, verse 4, And it was commanded them, that is the locusts, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Notice that it was commanded them, that is the locusts, that they should not hurt any green thing, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Since we know that those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads refers to all the unsaved people, any green thing must refer to the opposite, to all the unsaved, because of the sentence structure, which is all the saved or all the elect. Thus, we see that the word translated as green is closely identified with the elect. Another place we see the same word green is in Mark 6, where we read about Jesus miraculously feeding the 5,000. There we read in verse 39, And he commanded them, that is, he commanded his disciples, to make all, that is the 5,000 people, sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now, why did Jesus command that these 5,000 people, of whom he was going to miraculously feed, be sat down upon the green grass? From an earthly perspective, he probably made the people sit down on the grass because it was a more comfortable place to relax for a meal. But from a spiritual perspective, he made the 5,000 people sit down on the green grass because these 5,000 people typified those who would be fed the spiritual food of the gospel unto salvation. That is, the feeding of the 5,000 was a picture of how Christ would spiritually feed and save his people throughout the New Testament era. Thus, we see once again that those who are being saved are closely associated with our word translated as green. In fact, in this case, God's people are symbolized by or identified with the green grass, because it was on the green grass where the 5,000 who typified God's elect were miraculously fed. We will again come upon this term green grass in Revelation 8 when we get there, which is in the context of God bringing judgment upon all the churches, which according to the biblical timeline began on May 21, 1988. There we read in verse 7, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up." Notice how all the green grass was burnt up, since we already learned that the green grass identifies with God's own people. That all the green grass was burnt up means that that which identified with God's people, namely what we will discover is the corporate church, was burnt up. That is, all the Christian churches were spiritually destroyed, and so spiritually came to an end. But we will get into more detail on this when we get to Revelation 8. For now, I just want us to know that the color green, such as in green thing or in green grass, is identified with God's people. Now, since we have learned that this color green identifies with being God's own people, when the Apostle John said, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse," better translated as green horse, we know that he saw a horse identified with God's own people. But now our verse continues, "And his name that sat on him," that is on the horse, "was Death." Who could the rider of this green horse be? We know that this rider must be closely associated with God's people because the horse was green. But at the same time, this rider must also be associated with death, as his name, we are told, was Death. And we even further read that hell followed with him. What's more, this singular rider is also spoken of as them in the plural. For in describing the rider on the green horse, we read, "And power was given unto them," that is, unto the rider on the green horse, being described as a them, "over the fourth part of the earth." So who is it that is closely associated with God's own people, has the name Death, and hell follows him, and can be referred to as them? Well, contrary to virtually all current teaching on this verse, this can be none other than Christ Jesus himself. For first, he is closely associated with God's people, as they are his very own body. We read in Ephesians 5, verse 30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones." And second, when Christ brings judgment, he comes in the name Death, and hell follows him, because his judgment brings death and hell to all those who are under his judgment. And last, Christ can be referred to as them in the plural, because all his people, plural, are a part of him. They are his body. So in one breath, the rider on the green horse can be spoken of as being him, that is, Christ singular, while in another breath, the rider on the green horse can be spoken of as being God's own people, them, in the plural. Thus, the rider on the green horse is both him, Christ, and them, his body, the elect, who are coming in judgment to bring in death and hell. And so he and they are given the name of death, and hell follows him and them. Now, once again, concerning the rider on the green horse, we read, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. The them, we already learned, refers to the elect, who are an integral part of the rider on the green horse, because they are Christ's very own body. And Christ is, as we learned, the rider on the green horse. But notice once again that power or authority was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. The number four in the Bible is commonly symbolic of universality or worldwideness. And you can click on the link, Bible number four, to see that. So when that power was given unto the elect over the fourth part of the earth, means that they were given power or authority over the earth worldwide to bring in the judgment of death to hell. And how can it be that the elect brought in judgment to death and hell to the earth worldwide? Well, they proclaimed the word of God to the whole world. And the word of God is a two-edged sword. As we read in Ephesians 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That is, one edge to the sword of the word of God cuts unto salvation, while the other edge cuts to condemnation or damnation. We read in John 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Thus, as the elect brought the gospel to the world, all those who did not believe in Christ for their eternal salvation were condemned to death and hell. And this is how the rider on the green horse, namely Christ and the elect, have brought judgment to the world from the beginning of the New Testament era unto Judgment Day, until when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. After this date, the elect have been continuing to bring judgment to the world through their proclamation of no more eternal salvation possible. So, all who were not eternally saved in Christ by May 21, 2011 can no longer be saved, which means they are already condemned to death in Adam, because Adam fell from peace with God into condemnation of God, so that all who have descended from him are already condemned. Indeed, everyone now being born and everyone who was not eternally saved in Christ by May 21, 2011, are now condemned to death and hell for all eternity. There is no longer any hope for these people, as the day of Yahweh's wrath has come, and who can stand? Now we are told that the rider on the green horse, namely Christ and the elect, were given the power to bring judgment to the world in four ways. Once again, the number four emphasizes that the judgment they bring is worldwide. In fact, since we are talking about the opening of the fourth seal, the voice of the fourth beast, the fourth part of the earth, and four ways of judgment, it is greatly being emphasized that the rider on the green horse, namely the elect and Christ, were given power to bring death and hell universally or worldwide. The first way they were given power to bring judgment, we are told, was to kill with sword. The sword, of course, is the word of God, as we can learn in Ephesians 6, verse 17, which states, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thus, the elect were given power to bring the judgment of death and hell to the world with the word of God. As the elect proclaimed the word of God, it functioned as a spiritual sword to bring judgment against all the people. Those who believed in the word of God before May 21, 2011 were eternally saved. But those who would not believe were judged to hell and death. And now, ever since May 21, 2011, the elect are proclaiming the word of God to judge all those who were not saved by that date. Thus, both before and after May 21, 2011, the elect have been bringing judgment worldwide with the sword of the word of God. But next we are told that the rider on the green horse, namely the elect in Christ, were given power to bring the judgment of death and hell, not only with sword, but also with hunger, or quite literally with famine. And the way they had brought famine to the world was by Christ, the bread of life, having spiritually removed himself from their midst so that few, if any, could become eternally saved. This is what he did, for instance, to all the churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And perhaps I should mention, whenever I bring up these dates of the Great Tribulation, the end of the church age, and such things as that, it's all based on the biblical calendar, which can be studied on this website. But these are all accurate dates that come directly from the Bible. We did not make them up. They did not come out of the air. But by very careful study, you can find and discover that these dates are firmly based on the Word of God. But it'll take quite a bit of study. In fact, perhaps I should go into a study of that so that once again... everybody can see that it is firmly based on the Bible, but that's in the future. Well, he removed himself from the midst of all the churches, that is during the Great Tribulation, so that there was no longer available any bread of eternal life but spiritual famine. Oh, they had the Bible and its teachings, but they no longer had the Holy Spirit to apply the word to their hearts unto salvation. Thus there was a spiritual famine that came upon them all, and the elect brought this judgment to their attention by declaration of the Word of God. And why did this judgment of famine come upon all the churches? Because they would not remove all their high places of false teachings and gospels. Just as Israel of old would not remove all their high places of worship, so that Yahweh brought judgment upon them, first with destruction by the Assyrians, and then the Egyptians, and then finally the Babylonians, so also would not spiritual Israel, that is the churches, remove all their high places or false teachings, so that Christ and the elect brought a judgment of famine upon them, beginning on May 21, 1988. And according to the biblical timeline, ever since Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, Christ has brought spiritual famine not only upon all the churches, but also upon the entire world by removing himself from their midst spiritually. No longer can anyone either in the churches or in the world be eternally saved, and this is all due to the rider of the green horse, namely Christ and the elect, who were given power over the churches and over the world to bring judgment against them by spiritual famine. Yet we are told that not only was the rider on the green horse given power over the whole earth to kill with sword and famine, but also with death. You see, all four of these ways of killing are really point to the same thing. But the way they killed with death was through the proclamation of the Word of God again. up until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Those who believed in the Word of God were eternally saved, but those who rejected the Word of God were condemned to eternal death to be manifest on the last day. Then, after Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, Christ removed himself from the midst of the entire world so that none could any longer become eternally saved. And by having removed himself, I don't mean he removed himself from being spoken about or talked about or read about or anything like that, but he removed himself in that the Holy Spirit was removed from their midst so that they could no one could any longer be saved. And the elect have been declaring this ever since May 21, 2011. The result has been guaranteed death to all those who did not become eternally saved in Christ by May 21, 2011, which death will be revealed on the last day when they are all annihilated forever in the lake of fire along with Satan and all his demons. Yet, we are not only told that the rider on the green horse was given power over the entire earth to kill with sword, famine, and death, but also with the beasts of the earth. The beasts of the earth, or we could translate it, the wild beasts of the earth, refer to all the peoples of the earth that have not been tamed by the Word of God, so that they are called wild beasts of the earth, and they are spiritually unsaved and under the power of Satan, who is the ultimate beast. But how did the rider on the green horse, that is Christ and the elect, who were given power to bring judgment upon the whole earth, use these beasts, the unsaved people of the world, to kill with? Well, certainly one way Christ used them was to spiritually kill the churches by May 21, 1988 as judgment against them due to all their high places or false teachings. Yes, Christ used the wild beasts of false prophets and false believers to rise up and spiritually kill, that is, silence, the elect in all the churches, and they completely took over the churches with false teachings and gospel, so that by September 7 of 1994, in the midst of the Great Tribulation, the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, Satan, had completely taken his seat of rulership in all the local churches and congregations without them even knowing it, so that now those who still go to church are worshiping the man of sin, the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, Satan, as the Holy Spirit had removed himself from all churches long ago during the Great Tribulation that began on May 21, 1988, which left the door wide open to Satan's assault. And of course, this was all planned by God. God used Satan for this purpose, because judgment must begin with the house of God, and Satan was used as that instrument. Even now, ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, the rider on the green horse has been using the wild beasts of the earth, such as false prophets, to continue to lead all the churches astray. These false prophets say that the churches have not come under the wrath of God, and there is still eternal salvation possible. For the church age continues as it always has ever since the first century AD. Indeed, they know not that they are blind, miserable, and naked. For the church age ended on May 21, 1988, according to the biblical calendar, and the wrath of God has come upon them to the full. And there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation. How deep is that darkness? Well, let's move on to verse 9 of Revelation chapter 6. Verse 9. There we read, And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Here in this verse we first read, and when he had opened the fifth seal. He who had opened the fifth seal was, of course, the Lamb that was slain, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that he opened the fifth seal, as I've said before, that he opened the fifth seal to the book of God's salvation plan, which is symbolic of him actually bringing about the fifth aspect to God's salvation plan in history. So it is Christ himself who has been in control of not only bringing the first four aspects, that is, to God's salvation plan in history, but also the fifth aspect, of which the Apostle John is about to reveal in his vision. Now, in his vision, the Apostle John says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These souls that John saw refers to the souls or spirits of all those who were killed because they stood for what the word of God teaches. That is, because they stood for Christ and what he teaches, they were murdered. This not only refers to all those who were physically martyred for Christ at various times in history, but it refers to every single one of God's elect, because they had all been murdered for Jesus Christ. Remember what Christ taught? He said in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And also Christ said in John 15, verse 19, if you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That is, the world hates all of Christ's chosen people. And since we learned that whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, we are being taught that the whole world is a murderer of all God's elect because they hate them in their hearts. Thus, in a real sense, all of God's elect have been murdered throughout history in the hearts of the unsaved of the Word of God. For the Word of God, that is. And for the testimony which they held. And so the souls that John saw under the altar were the spirits of all the elect who had passed on from this life into heaven. But why are they described as being under the altar? Does this mean that all the spirits of the elect in heaven are jammed under a physical-like altar? Of course not. The altar symbolizes the bloody sacrifice of Christ, as the altar was closely associated with the bloody animal sacrifices that were placed on it, which in turn typified the bloody sacrifice of Christ. Thus, the souls of the elect in heaven being under the altar does not mean that they are under a physical-like altar, but it symbolizes that they are under the bloody sacrifice of Christ. Their sins have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what it's teaching us. Moving on to verse 10 of Revelation 6, verse 10, it reads, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Here we have a picture of all the elect under the altar, that is, all who have had their sins paid for by the sacrifice of Christ, crying out for justice. They had all been slain for their adherence to the Word of God, the truth. And now they want those who had killed them to get what they deserve for having murdered them. Many of the elect in heaven had been physically murdered while on earth, but all the elect in heaven had been spiritually murdered. That is, looked down upon, ignored, treated badly, cast out, separated from, considered false prophets, or the like. That is, they had all been silenced in some way by the unsaved when they were on earth. And now, all these elect in heaven who had experienced being slain while on earth cried with a loud voice. It was a loud voice because there were many of them, and each one of them had been deeply hurt and longed for vengeance. So they each cried out with a loud voice to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" That is, how much longer will it be before you, the Lord, bring judgment upon the world and cast all the unsaved into the lake of fire where they will die and remain dead for all eternity? For they had shed our blood, and so they deserve to have their blood shed, as the Scripture declared in Genesis 9:6. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Yet does the Scripture mean that we who are still on this earth should rise and take vengeance ourselves upon the unsaved because they deserve death? Absolutely not. For we read in Romans 12, verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place under wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" And we know that the vengeance of the Lord will be completed on the last day, when all the unsaved, both in the graves and without, will be brought forth before the Lord and his elect to be annihilated forever. And the elect will indeed be satisfied on that day. Amen. Now the last verse that we will cover in this study is verse 11. And it reads, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." In this verse, we're first told that all the elect under the altar in heaven, that is covered by the sacrifice of Christ for their sins, were given white robes. These robes represent the coverings for their nakedness, and their nakedness represents their sins. Thus, the robes are that which covers their sins. Furthermore, in that these robes are white, means that they are holy, or we could say righteous. So in that these are white robes signifies that they are holy or righteous coverings for sins. And since, spiritually, the covering for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who paid the price for the sins of his elect on the cross, the white robes represent the holy or righteous Christ himself, so that we could say that the robes represent the holiness or righteousness of Christ. Thus, when we are told that the elect in heaven were given white robes, it means that the holiness or righteousness of Christ was given to them, which tells us that the elect in heaven have been made holy and righteous, without sin, just like Christ. But now we read, "And it was said unto them," that is unto the elect in heaven under the altar, "that they should rest for a little season." This term "little season" is also found in Revelation 20, where we read in verses 2 through 3, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Here we learn that the little season is that small period after Satan is bound for 1,000 years, when Satan is loosed from the bottomless pit. Yet when is Satan bound for 1,000 years? That's the question. First, we must realize that 1,000 years is symbolic. It's a symbolic number of the completeness of whatever is in view, and in this case, it's the years for which Satan was bound. And you can click on the Bible number 1,000 to see this. And so it does not refer to a literal 1,000 years, as many and many of the churches take it, but the completeness of however many years it may be. Next, we must search the Bible as to when Satan was bound. And when we do this, we're given several clues. For instance, when Jesus carried out his earthly ministry, he said in Matthew 12, verse 28 through 29, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house," referring to Satan, "and spoil his goods, except the first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" And again, Jesus said in Mark 3, verse 27, "No man can enter into a strong man's house," again referring to Satan's house, "and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." In these two verses, Jesus taught that he had to first bind the strong man, that is Satan, before he could plunder his house. And since Jesus did begin to plunder Satan's house by casting out demons, we can know that Satan was being bound during Jesus' ministry on earth. Further support for that Satan was being bound during Christ's ministry comes from what we read in Luke 10, verse 18. "And he," that is Jesus, "said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." You see, the kingdom of Satan began to be plundered by Christ when he was on earth, and the reason was because Satan was being bound until finally he was completely bound at the cross, which is why we see that Satan is no longer able to keep the gospel from going into the whole world after the cross. And we see thousands upon thousands being saved shortly after Pentecost in 33 AD. While before that time, very few were ever saved. It was because Satan was bound at the cross, which made it now possible for the gospel to go forth and conquer, as evidenced by many people being saved all over the world. So when was Satan bound? He was bound at the cross. This means that the 1,000 years in which Satan was bound began in 33 AD when Jesus rose from the dead. And it continued for the completeness of years, which according to the biblical calendar, we now know to have been 1,955 years until May 21, 1988, when the church age ended and Satan was loosed to be used by God to bring great tribulation upon all the churches as judgment against them for their having held to all the various false teachings and false Christs. We read of this in Revelation 11, where we read in verse 7, "And when they," and the "they" refers to the churches, because they're symbolized by the two olive trees and the two candlesticks in verse 4. "And when they," that is the churches, "shall have finished their testimony," that is when the church age was over, "the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." That is when the church age was over on May 21, 1988. Satan the beast was loosed from the bottomless pit and he was permitted to make war against all the churches to overcome the elect in the churches and kill them. Satan did not, for the most part, physically kill the elect, but he spiritually killed the elect in all the churches by silencing them and the true gospel. Indeed, Satan was seated to rule in all the churches so that they would be overrun by many false gospels and teachings. And his false prophets and ministers did arise with signs and wonders to teach things so close to the truth that it could even deceive God's elect if that were possible. As we read about this time of the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And again in Mark 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." But now returning to our verse in Revelation chapter 6, we read, "And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." We now know that the little season in which the elect in heaven were to rest refers to the great tribulation, wherein all the churches were given over to Satan as judgment against them from May 21, 1988 to when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Thus, the 1,000 years in which Satan was bound began at the cross and ended when the church age ended on May 21, 1988. Then, at that time, Satan was loosed for a little season to bring judgment against all the churches from May 21, 1988 to when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Just before the Great Tribulation, that is, the little season, began, the Apostle John, in his vision, heard it said to the elect in heaven that they should rest for a little season. That is, they should rest in their salvation in Christ during the Great Tribulation. That is, the little season of judgment which came upon all the churches. Thus, the elect who were in heaven at the end of the church age cried out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And the Lord told them that they should rest a little season while judgment is brought upon all the churches from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And how were their fellow servants and their brethren killed during the little season of judgment? Well, for the most part, they were spiritually killed. And to be spiritually killed is to be silenced, looked down upon, treated poorly, separated from, cast out. However it was done, they were silenced in all the churches until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, when judgment not only continued against all the churches, but also came upon the entire world. Indeed, not only could no one any longer be saved in all the churches ever since May 21, 1988, but neither could anyone any longer be saved in the world ever since May 21, 2011. The day of Yahweh's wrath had come. Well, let's summarize and conclude this study. In this study of Revelation 6, verses 7 through 11, we looked at the opening of the fourth and fifth seals. When the fourth seal was opened, we saw that the pale horse was better translated as green horse, and we learned that its rider was Christ and his body, the elect, and they had the name of death. And hell followed them because they proclaimed the word of God to the whole world, which brought death and hell to all those who would not believe. They also proclaimed death and hell to all the churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And they now are not only proclaiming hell and death to all the churches, but also to the entire world ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Thus, the rider on the pale horse is a picture of Christ and the elect bringing death and hell to the entire world and all the churches. But then, when the fifth seal was opened, we saw the souls of the elect in heaven who had been slain for having stood firm upon the truths of the Word of God. This included not only the elect who had been physically slain on earth, but also all the other elect who had passed on from this earth, because they had all spiritually been slain through the hatred of the world for them. Remember, Christ had taught that if you have hatred toward another, you have already murdered them in your heart. And since the world hated all the elect who passed into heaven had been murdered or slain by the world when they were on earth. But now we saw all the elect in heaven who had been slain crying out to the Lord for vengeance upon all those who had murdered them. And the Lord said that they should rest for a little season, which we learned was the little season of the great tribulation of judgment against all the churches from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. It was during this little season when the rest of the elect would be spiritually slain, that is, silenced in all the churches. And after that, the Lord would begin His judgment against the whole world in answer to the cries of the elect who had been slain, which He did spiritually on May 21, 2011, with the removal of any possibility for any of them ever being eternally saved. Yes, the vengeance of the Lord has surely come, and it will be completed on the last day of Judgment Day, when the whole world that slew the elect will be cast into the lake of fire to be burned up and never live again. Amen. Now with that, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.